Welcome to the MSP Law Podcast, where we share legal tips and strategies that help managed service providers and technology firms build a better defense. I'm your host, Tom Favinsky. Maximizing the deduction to benefit owners. So if you have $100,000 of deductions and you live in California or New York or Minnesota or another high tax jurisdiction, you know, not South Dakota, it's a different if it's low tax or no tax. But in order for, if you want 100% return, the deductions, if you maximize your deductions, you get 100% return. If you can find a business purpose for, I'll use travel as an example. If you go to California to visit family and you have no business meeting set up, that's a non-taxable trip. If you go to California, and assuming you're not from California, you go to California and you're having that interaction with your siblings and whatnot. It's for fun. It's a fun vacation. But you start your day out for 1 hour. You go have a cup of coffee with an MSP that's located in California. And you say, okay, I'm in New York. And here's what I am doing in New York to generate business. I'd like to know what you're, and you just spill your beans. This is everything I'm doing. You know, this is the stack I use. This is, you know, all that stuff. I'm just curious, like, I don't compete in California. I'd like to know what happens in California or in London, England, or wherever you are. You know, I just like to understand better about what you're doing here. I'm not going to take this information. I'll sign a non-disclosure agreement if you want me to, but we got to make it geographic so that I can use it in my jurisdiction. But this is just about us being better. But you're doing it for an hour, and now that day becomes a tax-deductible event. You have to pre-schedule it, so you can't just be in London and say, oh, I'm going to look up some MSPs. You have to have it in advance. Now, you're going to get some people scratching their head saying, what the heck? Like, just trust me. I'm going to give you some value. Give that person a bunch of value. In fact, we use some automated document generation systems that we've tweaked and manipulated and made more as a part of our estate planning for our clients, our MSP clients, than for the other stuff. But one of the sessions that I learned about this platform 18 years ago when I was meeting with somebody in Virginia on a vacation, and I came back and I'm talking to my wife. She's like, you were gone for 5 hours, Tom. And I'm like, I know this guy was absolutely fascinating. I'm sorry. This is before cell phones and all that stuff. I'm sorry, but this was an unbelievable session. I hope you don't mind. She's like, no, that's great. I'm glad you had fun and enjoyed it and all that stuff. And it totally turned, as an owner of a business, it totally turned my mindset into leveraging technology to create efficiencies and whatnot. So you get some really good value out of that. But that's an example. If you can find a business purpose for that, then that trip becomes deductible. I have formed thousands and thousands of entities over the course of my 33 years. I have looked at thousands of other entities that were formed. If when you started your company, you said, okay, I'm going to start my company. I'm going to put in $100 for 100 shares or $1,000 for 100,000. So money for shares, a small amount of money in exchange for shares. That's every subscription arrangement I've seen from people outside of my practice coming in, that's what they do. And it makes absolutely no sense other than it's really easy for the lawyer. It's super easy for the lawyer to fill that template out and say $100 for 100 shares. But you know what you're missing? You probably, when you started your MSP or whatever business you start, you probably have personal property that you already own that is going to be used in the business. Look around you, your desk, your screens, the library of information, books that you've bought, you know, and last I checked, the value of a book is pretty much the same, whether it's new or whether it's used. I mean, in terms of the content that's in there, the electronic equipment, televisions, maybe your vehicle, there's a ton of things that you're using that belong to you that you're just saying, well, I'm just going to let the business use it. You know, it's, hey, you know, I got a home office and it's the couch in my home office. I'm going to retitle it in the name of my company. Absolutely. Yes. Because if we retitle it and we give it to them in exchange for our shares, we get to make a deduction of the value of that coming in over the class life. So if it's furniture, it's probably 5 years that we can take that furniture. So if the furniture costs $5,000, you get a $1,000 deduction every year. So what does that mean, that $1,000 deduction? That means you got $500 raise by doing that each year for 5 years. And you're not doing anything wrong because you actually gave that, you know, couch or whatever. And if you total it up, you know, most of my clients get to $30,000 in that bracket when they're forming their core entity. Now, we do some affiliated entities too. So, you know, hey, we've got some leftover stuff that we didn't use and we're buying a building. Can we put all my business books that I've accumulated over the years? Can we put that in there? Like, sure, let's do it. Because you can use it that. So those you are not going to get to 30,000 when it's an affiliated non-core business, but it's a great deduction. So that's an example. So the day of travel is considered a business day. So the day that you go out to California in preparation for the meeting is a, you know, if you have the meeting on the same day, it's not going to change anything, but the travel back and forth is the same. And if you can demonstrate that the cost of staying in between meetings or to take a later flight, I could leave on Sunday, but it's going to cost me $1,000. If I leave on Monday, I can get it for $200. And my cost of my hotel is $200. And so I net gain ahead. If you could demonstrate that, or you put out another meeting. So what you might do is you might get there on Saturday. That's your travel day. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, you might look at it and say, it's cheaper for me to stay there on Sunday than it is to fly in on Sunday. Monday, you have your meeting. Tuesday, you do nothing. Wednesday, you have a meeting. And what you're demonstrating is that it was cheaper for me to stay there for my Wednesday meeting than it was to fly back and forth. And then maybe Friday, you do the same thing. And then Saturday, you go back home. And that Saturday is your travel day. And in the course of having 3 hours, which are going to be fascinating, interesting hours, you're going to learn a ton from people you don't know. And they don't really even have to be MSPs. They can be a marketing company or a vendor or you know, a software manufacturer. You know, anybody can be anything. But you're going to love it, the content that you get from it. It's a little hard to get up in the morning and go do it. But, hey, it's worth it because it pays. The whole trip is deductible. It's deductible for you, but not your family. But if you have the hotel room and they're staying in your hotel room, you don't have to like prorate it or anything, but their airfare would not count. If your spouse, under another strategy, is a consultant to your company, which is, I see this happen a lot where people are like, well, you know, my spouse works for me and, you know, we pay him or her $30,000 a year. Like, that's just stupid. That's just absolutely stupid because by paying them that money, you're actually increasing your payroll withholding cap because you're treated as one when it comes to your income taxes, and your spouse can give their labor to you or earn it through a separate entity. If we do it through a separate entity, then that person is a consultant to you and is participating as a consultant in these sessions as well, and you can write that piece off. There are other reasons to have an affiliated company, but that's an example. If we have an affiliated company, we can push money over to the affiliated company and pay for services over there, and it might be more tax advantage. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Qualified business income, the QBI is a Trump deduction, and it's about managing your adjusted gross income. So there's formulas associated with it where there's a bit of magic in determining what your wages ought to be in correlation to the assets that are at work. So it's a flow map. I can't even go through it and explain it to you. It has to do with assets in play and the amount of payroll that's out there in terms of how much you can qualify for the QBI. I got to run it through. Now, most of the stuff that we do, I have other people working on it with me, so I'm not doing the raw calculation. So this is one where I would bring somebody in and say, okay, let's do a QBI optimization analysis to make sure that we're paying them the right amount of income so we can take advantage of this 20% off the top deduction. Guarantee fees are another one. If you have any sort of debt out there, if you guarantee the debt, and you can get paid a guarantee fee. So why would you do that? Well, if you take income out of your entity, you're probably paying payroll withholdings on it. There's this notion that if the total profit is 200, I better have 200 in wages. If my total profit is 100, I better have 100 in wages. Otherwise, the IRS is going to get mad. That's not necessarily true. But that theory of you can't go in and say, I made $75,000 in wages and $1 million in passive gains. That's a harder one to sell. So what we're trying to do is deflect income to maximize that payroll withholding deduction. The payroll withholding is a 15.3% tax on the employer. The employer pays 7.65%. The employee pays 7.65%. And the government's done a really good job of making us feel like we don't get taxed on a certain amount, that we pay income taxes gradually. That is baloney. We pay taxes on the first dollar that we make. The first dollar we make, we pay 7.65% taxes. It's just payroll withholding taxes. And it floats up until it caps. And then after the cap, it drops down to 2.7. So even if you take $1 million and you're paying the full cap, so let's say your total take is $1,150,000 and you stop your wages at 150 and you say, hey, that's what market rate is for a CEO of an MSP is 150. I did a salary survey because that's what you got to have support for. And the $1 million is truly passive. So what have you done by saving, by doing that, rather than, there's a whole slew of things you've done, but one of the things you've done is you've saved $30,000 in payroll withholding taxes on the Medicare component. So there's a reason to do it. It's not as big. If you get it under the 150, you save more. So another way of saying that is if you could justify that your wages were $50,000, and that the profits that you make are $100,000 by characterizing it as wages at 50 and profits at 100 instead of all at 150, you've saved $15,650. Okay, so that's that, the deduction thing. You get the idea. We want to do home office. There are home office rules. We want to take home office. We want interest expenses. We want, if you are buying disability insurance for yourself, there's a way to deduct that if you play the game right. I talked about Section 179 on the scaffolding thing. Those are the types of pieces that we're talking about there.
Well, that's it for this episode. This is Tom Popinski. I'm an attorney with Virtus Law. My team is called the MSP Law Team. We serve MSPs, and we'd like to chat with you. Feel free to reach out to us by email. My contact information is Tom, T-O-M, at Virtus Law, D like Victor, I-R-T like Tom, U-S, like United States, L-A-W.com.